Prepare to discard your mental blinders. Counterthink with Mike Adams, live on InfoWars.com.
Welcome to Counterthink.com. This is Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. This is the pre-election edition with only 2 days remaining for the midterm elections. I've got a full detailed analysis for you about what I think is likely to happen, or at least the scenarios that may happen, and what to expect following the election. And one of the scenarios, by the way, is that we don't know the winner for many weeks, or even potentially a month or so. So I'll discuss that scenario, but I appreciate you joining me. There's a lot at stake. I'd like to just mention as a programming note that I'll be joining InfoWars and Alex Jones on Tuesday evening for live election coverage. I'll be reporting from this studio, sort of interweaving with the other InfoWars reporters as we cover the outcome of the evening. And that's we're going to cover it regardless of, you know, whether the GOP holds the House or the Democrats take the House, or if it's an unknown outcome, which is one of the very likely possibilities, as I'll discuss here. Now, one of the things that I want to caution you about in this election, the unknowability of the outcome of this particular election is very, very high, even among those of us who have a very strong track record of making accurate predictions. For example, I publicly and accurately predicted that Trump would win the 2016 election. I was on the record saying that he would win. I'm even quoted in the Washington Post, I think, when they did a little hit piece on me a couple days before the election. They were trying to say, well, look at all these Trump supporters. They're crazy. Why do they think Trump is going to win? Something like that. And they quoted me as saying, yeah, we're going to take America back. Or at least they quoted me saying something. Who knows? Maybe they took it out of context. But on my website, Natural News, it's very clear days before the election, I said Trump is going to win. I also said there was an 80% chance that Brett Kavanaugh would be confirmed to the United States Supreme Court. This is even during the time that he was under extreme attack by the left with the fake allegations against him and the fake news media and Julie Swetnick and that creepy porn lawyer, as he's called, Michael Avenatti, pushing forward these false allegations against Kavanaugh. Even then, I said he's got an 80% chance of being confirmed. So I've got a pretty good track record for these things. And, of course, I called the housing bubble crash, and I called the dot-com crash, started warning about that in 1999. But for this election, I don't have confidence in predicting the outcome. In fact, I would say there's a range here, and there could be anywhere from a loss of 20 Republican seats in the House to a loss of about 40. And that's what I'm kind of settling on right now, anywhere from 20 to 40. Well, as you know, if they only lose 20 seats, then they keep the House. If they lose 25 seats or more, they lose the House. So if you think about this distribution of outcomes, the distribution appears to be more strongly weighted toward Democrats taking the House. But there is a significant and very real chance that the GOP maintains control of the House and loses fewer than 23 seats, let's say, in which case the left would go absolutely nuts. So what I'm going to do here in the rest of this show, as we continue in the next segments, I'm going to analyze each of these scenarios. What happens in America if the Democrats take the House? Because that is a significant outcome, a likelihood. What happens if the GOP defends the House? There's also a significant chance that they can do that. But also, more importantly, what happens if the election outcome is contested? And also, I'll talk about the election fraud that has already been carried out by Facebook and Google and the illegal voting and the left-wing media that's pushing out fake news. So I believe that this is not a fair and free election. Regardless of the outcome, GOP candidates are having their seats stolen from them by a complicit left, left-wing politicians and tech giants who are working diligently to steal this election ahead of the election. They've already done quite a job of doing that. So stay with us. Counterthink. We'll be right back after this break.
Warning. Take the red pill before viewing. Counterthink with Mike Adams.
We're back on Counterthink with Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me. Another programming note, all of these episodes, in addition to being viewable on Infowars.com each Sunday at 6 p.m., they're also available later on Counterthink.com. That's the name of the show. And our video website, the YouTube alternative, BrightEon.com, or just BrightEon.com. All these episodes there, plus thousands of videos from Infowars and tens of thousands of videos from other channels. We have thousands of users of the website all posting videos. And watch for Election Day coverage at BrightEon.com, because there will be a flurry of videos posted from thousands of different users on what's happening during the election. All right, now, there are three scenarios, as I mentioned. Scenario number one, GOP holds the House. Scenario number two, Democrats take the House. Scenario three, it's in limbo. And I'm going to cover each of these three scenarios. But first, no matter what happens in this election, there are a couple of outcomes that will happen regardless. So one of those is, I believe, President Trump will fire Jeff Sessions. He has been an obstructionist. He recused himself the minute he got confirmed to the head of the DOJ. And this man is a sad, sad case of a failed American. It's very sad. He could have done so much in the last 2 years. He could have pursued the deep state criminals. He could have indicted them. He could have run the DOJ. Instead, he basically turned over the DOJ to Rod Rosenstein, who is a deep state actor who's working against Trump. And so Jeff Sessions has been the modern-day Benedict Arnold of the Republican Party. And he needs to go. And he will go down in history as an obstructionist, if not a traitor, to the United States of America. Once he is fired, Trump will immediately appoint another replacement attorney general. This person has already been chosen. I don't know who it is, but the people that are being considered for this position over the last several months have all been vetted, and they've narrowed it down to one choice. Now, importantly, because it is expected that Republicans will take more seats on the Senate confirmation of this attorney general will be even easier for the GOP than was the confirmation of Jeff Sessions, which, if you recall, was quite contentious. So whether the Republicans gain two seats in the Senate or maybe six seats in the Senate, and it's possible they could gain more, but the most likely gain in the Senate is 3 to 5 seats, something in that realm. We'll see. But just having that extra 2 or 3 seats gives the GOP a buffer against the actions of senators like Jeff Flake or even Susan Collins or others who have, over their terms, they've been very wishy-washy, certainly not GOP loyalists. Now, while they did vote to confirm Brett Kavanaugh, and Susan Collins really emerged as quite a hero in that vote, and even Senator Flake, he eventually voted for Kavanaugh as well, even though he's the one who delayed it 1 week with that following the elevator CNN, you know, gotcha event that was organized by George Soros activists. That was a pounce type of event right there. But nevertheless, these two senators and other GOP senators will not be able to hold up the confirmation. So just having an extra 3 to 5 conservative senators in the Senate will allow all of these confirmations to be more easily achieved. And this goes for also federal district court judge appointments and also, of course, future Supreme Court appointments. So one thing to think about in all of this, as you consider, even if the Democrats take the House, understand that Supreme Court appointments are not subject to approval by the House of Representatives. They are approved and confirmed only by the Senate. And so even if the Democrats take the House, President Trump may still have the chance to appoint and have more Supreme Court justices confirmed by the United States Senate with a strong GOP majority. And that is huge. So it's not the end of the world if the Democrats take the House. I'll talk about some of their plans and some of what might happen, but it's not the end of the world. With the GOP controlling the Senate, and now Neil Gorsuch, as well as Brett Kavanaugh on the U.S. Supreme Court, if Trump gets a chance to appoint one more conservative justice, and if that happens in the context of, let's say, the retirement or, God forbid, the passing of a liberal justice, and the most likely candidate for that is Ginsburg, of course. We hope nothing, you know, we don't wish anybody to expire. We wish everybody to be healthy and live a long, happy life. But, you know, we all come and go, and she's the oldest on the court, and she's the most likely to retire soon. So if she retires and Trump, even perhaps for medical reason, if she can no longer serve and she's forced to retire or chooses to retire, then President Trump would be able to confirm yet another conservative Supreme Court justice or appoint one, and then the Senate confirms them. And that Senate majority should be very strong following this election. So it's very important to keep in mind the separation of powers in our system and why one more Supreme Court justice is a victory of all victories. It's almost more important than who wins the presidential election in 2020, because having a court that is right now considered to be, let's say, 5-4, conservatives to liberals, if that were to change to 6-3, it would be the most monumental change in the philosophical fabric of the highest court that we've seen in, frankly, generations. I mean, I don't know how many years, 50 years, 60 years, something like that. It's maybe 70 years. It's been a long time since we had a conservative court. Okay. In addition, one other note, no matter what happens in this election, President Trump, I believe, will unleash, after he gets a new attorney general confirmed, which should happen very rapidly. It must happen rapidly. It could take place in the month of November. So think about this. If by Thanksgiving we have a new attorney general in place, then that means that throughout December, conceivably, there could be hundreds of indictments unleashed against deep state actors who have committed treason and who have committed massive obstruction of justice and felony crimes against the United States of America. And some of these deep state actors, I've named them before, but you know their names. They include Barack Obama. They include Hillary Clinton. They include Peter Strzok, even James Comey himself, who stole classified materials from the FBI and then leaked them illegally to his colleague in order to get the appointment of Robert Mueller under false pretenses. And so, in fact, the entire Robert Mueller investigation is fraudulent and illegal to begin with. The entire investigation was built on lies and fraud. And if we just had an attorney general in place who was willing to enforce the law and go after lawbreakers and apply the law equally to all people, including those in high places, then we could see Hillary Clinton behind bars eventually. It may not be a huge chance of that happening, but it is a conceivable outcome. And by the way, if Hillary Clinton is indicted, you can expect the left to absolutely erupt in massive civil disobedience. But they may already be in civil disobedience for reasons that I'll discuss as we continue this broadcast here of Counterthink. There are some of the scenarios that I'll lay out here have the left going insane and actually trying to carry out an armed, violent revolution against this constitutional republic. So we'll talk about those scenarios. But I just wanted you to know that no matter what the outcome of this election, many, many things are going to happen regardless. And there's also one outcome where President Trump declares the election to be fraudulent, null, and void. Now, it's not a high probability of that. It might be, you know, who knows, might be a 10% chance of that happening. It's anyone's guess. But depending on the circumstances, depending on how much vote fraud is out there, depending on allegations of vote fraud and so on, ballot box activities, that is one scenario that could happen. And it would cause the left to erupt into massive violence and nationwide protests in 20-plus cities across the country. And it would probably result in the deployment of National Guard troops and the declaration of martial law. Even if it's not called martial law, it will effectively be martial law. Maybe they'll call it shelter in place. You know, that's sort of the code word now for martial law. But we'll cover all this and much more as we continue here on Counterthink. My name is Mike Adams, and remember, you can catch each episode at counterthink.com. We'll be right back.
Countering the brain-dead propaganda of the status quo,
This is Counterthink with Mike Adams, right here on InfoWars.
All right, let's jump right into the analysis of the three different scenarios. Scenario number one is if the Democrats take the House, then we are going to see, well, just remember in all of this that the Democrats would not be sworn in until January. So even if the election shows them as victorious right now, they're still roughly 2 months or so before they're sworn into power. And a lot can happen during those 2 months. A lot of things can happen. In fact, I expect they will. Because unburdened by the midterm elections hanging over their heads, there are many GOP senators who might actually find or discover that they have a spine. And they might actually start indicting the obstructionists on the left who have refused to cooperate with House subpoena requests, for example. There's been obstruction this entire time for 2 years by leftist and deep state operators like Peter Strzok and John Brennan and even James Comey and others, people who've refused to testify or have taken the Fifth Amendment or have refused to turn over documents. There's even obstruction inside the DOJ. There's been obstruction about the FISA warrant documentation. And, you know, thanks to really a very small number of conservatives who have been pushing for transparency on these documents, there's been some pressure, but it hasn't been enough. We need more pressure, and we need to actually arrest those who are obstructing the release of documents from the FBI and the DOJ. And you may see that accelerate in the weeks following the outcome of the election itself, regardless of how the election goes. But if Democrats take the House, I want you to know that they will absolutely impeach President Trump sometime in January. There's no question about this. Maxine Waters has been calling for it, and the other Democrats have been telling her, hush, hush, don't admit that we're going to impeach Trump because it doesn't make us popular in the elections. Remember that Democrats can never get elected by telling the truth about what they intend to do. Democrats have to lie about their intentions. They have to lie about their policies. They have to pretend to be moderates. Claire McCaskill, for example, in Missouri, who was exposed by Project Veritas and James O'Keefe's project there, very clearly, McCaskill is a radical left-wing Democrat, but she has to fake like she supports gun rights. Or even she came out and said she supports Trump's border wall recently. Can you imagine that, a Democrat saying she supports the border wall? Well, that's how desperate she is to win, and that's how much she's under siege in terms of polling against, I think it's Josh Hawley there in Missouri. So all Democrats have to lie about who they are in order to get elected, because the American people don't want left-wing radicalism. So Democrats pretend to be moderates in order to win votes. Occasionally you get radical leftists like Gillum running for governor of Florida, who may win, by the way. Occasionally you get people like that who actually come out and say, yeah, they're proud to be radical left-wing socialists. It's the Ocasio-Cortez approach to politics. They just go radical left-wing, and they win primaries. And they win primaries because inside their own party, their party is moving to the radical left. But when compared, when running against a conservative, these people will tend to lose because mainstream America is not radical left-wing. They're not into the radical left-wing philosophy. So if Democrats take the House, they will impeach President Trump. This, well, and just so you understand impeachment, in case you don't know, the House can vote for impeachment. It's really a vote of no confidence, but then it goes to the Senate for conviction, basically a trial and a conviction. To convict Trump of impeachment, of being impeached, the Senate would have to have a two-thirds vote to impeach the president. This is impossible to happen unless there's some sort of evidence that surfaces, which is also impossible, that showed Trump, you know, somehow committing some kind of traitorous, treasonous crime against America. Well, Trump loves America, so such evidence doesn't exist. He's never betrayed his country, unlike Barack Obama, who was actually a traitor, and unlike Hillary Clinton, who had already pre-sold the White House to the highest bidder in an international bribery and corruption scheme involving the Clinton Family Foundation, as we call it, the Clinton Crime Family Foundation. You talk about a mafia cartel. Clinton ran that. She's still running parts of it. Nevertheless, the Senate will not vote to convict President Trump. But the media will then say that Trump has been impeached. Now, the same thing happened to Bill Clinton back in the 1990s. I forget what year it was, but Trump was impeached by the House, but of course not convicted by the Senate. And at that time, the media downplayed it and said, oh, it doesn't count. It's just a vote of no confidence by the House. But this time, if Trump is impeached, you can bet every left-wing media outlet in the country is going to say, impeached, impeached. He must resign. That's going to be the news everywhere. So you can count on that happening in January if the Democrats take the House. In addition, the Democrats will unleash massive investigations. They will subpoena documents from the Trump family, from the Trump administration, from anyone connected to Trump. They will investigate Roger Stone. They will investigate Alex Jones. They will investigate, you know, every person who's ever had contact with Trump and every business related to Trump. And they will use their subpoena power as a weapon of terrorism, basically subpoena terrorism against political enemies of the left. In fact, Nancy Pelosi has already publicly promised to do this. And Trump has already said that what Nancy Pelosi is planning to do is illegal, and Trump is planning to challenge it. He's already put that out there preemptively. So you should expect a lot of battles, a lot of legal battles that could end up, guess where? At the Supreme Court. Once again, underscoring the importance of having Kavanaugh and Gorsuch in place, as well as Clarence Thomas and others. But having control of the Supreme Court is the ultimate, of course, the ultimate judicial power of the country. And that's why these confirmations are absolutely critical to the future of our country. So in addition, I want you to be aware that there's a very strong risk of a patriot revolt if there is a vote to impeach the president. I have to say on the record, every time I talk about this, so I'm not accused of inciting this, I don't support this, I don't endorse it, and I don't call for it. But as an analyst, I can see a scenario where, let's say, 10,000 armed patriots storm Washington, D.C. and engage in their own brand of at least attempted citizens' arrests of the left-wing traitors who vote for impeachment. Again, I'm not calling for it. I don't espouse violence, and I support due process, and I support our constitutional republic and the separation of powers and so on. But I believe there's a very strong chance that many, perhaps tens of thousands of patriots across America will see this as basically a domestic enemy attempting to seize power. And they may not be wrong in that assessment from a political perspective. So given that, I can see this escalating very quickly into a patriot revolt. It might happen. It might not happen. We'll have to wait and see. If that were to happen, I could see Antifa left-wing terrorists taking to the streets and trying to engage the patriots. I can see DC police engaging the patriots with gunfire. I can see this actually escalating very quickly into really tactical shooting engagements. So let's pray and hope that none of that happens. We don't want to see bloodshed. The best way to avoid that is for the GOP to maintain control over the House. And do not let Mad Maxine Waters have her way. Do not let her have power. Do not let Nancy Pelosi have power. Because these people will abuse their power. There's no question about that. They are power abusers. They are authoritarians. They are tyrants. We must keep them out of power if we are to save the republic and support peace. So much more straight ahead.
Exposing the corporate media assault on your reality. It's Counterthink with Mike Adams.
All right, the second scenario here is if the GOP keeps the House. Remember, they have to maintain, they have to not lose more than 22 seats. I think that's the right number. If they lose 23 seats, they lose control of the House. They can lose 20 seats, and they probably will. They can lose 21 seats. They just can't lose 23, 24, 25, and so on. Now, if they keep the House, this is the absolute worst outcome from the point of view of Democrats. Democrats all across the country who have told themselves, just like in 2016, when they told themselves that they were going to win the election, Hillary had a 95% chance, 98% chance. They told themselves Hillary was going to win, that it was over, Trump would never become president. You remember all that. Well, they're telling themselves the same thing now in these midterm elections. Pelosi is already running around announcing she's going to be Speaker of the House. Well, she may be right, but she might also be wrong. The polls might be completely wrong. There are a couple of factors to consider here. Number one, early voting by GOP members has been remarkably strong. much stronger than expected. Secondly, polls were catastrophically wrong in the 2016 presidential election run-up for the same reason I believe that they may be catastrophically wrong again. And that reason is that because of all the attacks on Trump, the public humiliation, the mobs, the stalking of GOP supporters, the ridiculing and targeting of GOP supporters, when pollsters contact people and ask them who they're voting for, people do not want to admit that they're supporting the GOP. And so people actually fib to the pollsters just to protect themselves. They might say, yeah, I'll participate in the poll. And when they're asked, they're going to say, I'm going to support the Democrat candidate. But in their heart, they're going to go vote GOP. I think that is a very strong factor in all of this, and it explains why the polls were so wrong in 2016. And even Nate Silver, who is the pollster darling of the left, was catastrophically wrong in 2016. He's currently, I think, estimating an 85 or 86% chance of Democrats taking the House. But he might be catastrophically wrong yet again. Or he might be lucky and be correct for the wrong reasons. Who knows? But I don't think that he has any special voodoo magic about polling and polling data. And I think polls, by and large, in this political environment, polling is not accurate because people do not want to admit that they are supporting the GOP. So that's something to keep in mind. In other words, every media outlet that's telling you that this is over, the Democrats are going to win, Pelosi's going to be in charge of the House, all these people, they are either lying to themselves or lying to the public or both. Nobody really knows at this point what the outcome is going to be. That's impossible to know. But if the GOP keeps the House, here's what's going to happen. The left is going to go absolutely insane. They are going to probably at that point realize that they are losing so much political power. Think about it. They lost the White House. They're going to lose a lot in the Senate in this election, very likely. They're losing the Supreme Court in a huge way. That's why they fought so viciously to block Kavanaugh. And if they lose the House in these midterms, given that the midterms are the best chance of Democrats to take power back, midterms usually go against the incumbent president very strongly. If they cannot make this work in these midterms, then they probably know that America is turning against the Democrat Party. They know that the mob violence has really destroyed the credibility of the Democrats. They know that the Hillary Clinton mafia-style leadership has really discredited the Democrats. And they know that the Honduran caravan, for example, is the wrong image, and the American people are rejecting having their country invaded. The American people want jobs, not mobs. It's a very powerful meme. It really it makes a lot of sense to a lot of people. Right now, people are enjoying jobs. Unemployment rates are at historic lows, and wages are rising rapidly. Now, long-term, this may present a risk to employers because of wage inflation. That's happening. And there is going to be an inflation problem down the road. In fact, there's a massive government debt problem, as you know, down the road. And Trump is contributing to that problem with trillions of dollars in additional debt. But it's still not even as much as Obama added to the debt. He added over $8 trillion to the national debt during his 8 years. Now, however, if Trump serves 8 years, by the way, just as a side note, he may add eight as well, or perhaps 9 or 10. We'll see. Yeah, debt spending is a problem. However, you can expect the civil unrest to erupt. And by that, what I mean is massive, massive protests. Remember, this is the second trigger point that I've warned about all along. I said months ago that if Kavanaugh got confirmed and the GOP maintained control of the House, those were the two trigger events that would trigger essentially escalating civil war. The left at that point would carry out massive violent protests erupting in 20-plus cities across the country. They will bomb government buildings. They will commit arson. They will commit mass murder. They will try to slaughter people in the streets. The Hollywood celebrities will go absolutely insane, which is one reason just to vote GOP, just to see that happen. Wouldn't we all love to see these Hollywood celebrities just absolutely going nuts, these radical leftists, just screaming their voices out on camera about how much they hate America and how much they're going to leave. That's great. We want you to leave. You don't belong here. If you don't love this country, you should get out. So if the Democrats lose this election, maybe a lot of them will leave. Maybe Barbara Streisand will go to Canada or somewhere else, which would be great. You know, I mean, she's threatened to do that, so I hope she does that. Maybe Michael Moore will finally leave the country. Maybe he'll go join Venezuela, because they have a whole new diet plan down there called starvation via socialism, and that could benefit people like Michael Moore. In any case, you can expect mass violence nationwide if the GOP holds the House. Now, in response to this, and I've been criticized for this before, but let me explain it again. In response to this massive violence, should this scenario occur, President Trump would declare martial law in one way or another. He may not call it martial law, but it's essentially martial law. There would be National Guard troops in the streets. And my point is, I've said this all along, and I've repeated it, that there will be a point where the violence is so bad that you will beg for martial law. And that quote has got me into some hot water among some patriots and libertarians. Like, why are you endorsing martial law? Well, I'm not endorsing it just out of the blue, tanks in the streets. I'm saying that leftists will commit so much violence that they will make it very difficult to even commute to work, difficult to conduct business. You know, banks might have to close down. You know, they are interfering with the very fabric of America, where you can't get to work and you can't do your job and UPS can't deliver and banks can't function. You know, if it gets that bad and buildings are burning down and police are being shot, you're going to beg for martial law, and you're going to look back at this video and others that I've recorded. You're going to say, oh, now I know what Mike Adams was talking about. Yeah, you're going to beg for martial law because you want civility. You want police to be protected. You want law and order in society, and you want to stop the violence so we can get back to the business of being America again. That's what I'm referring to when I say that you will beg for martial law under these circumstances. And by the way, there wouldn't be tanks in the streets. There'd just be armored personnel carriers in the streets. There wouldn't be tanks. It'd just be a lot of soldiers and a lot of hardware and maybe helicopters and so on, but not tanks. Tanks don't have any role in stopping Antifa. That's a troop level action. That's small arms action for the most part. And by the way, troops, even National Guard troops, they can't make arrests of these people. It's only local police and sheriffs who can make arrests. So National Guard troops can simply help support local law enforcement. They are limited by law from arresting citizens. You may not know that, but National Guard troops cannot make arrests. And of course, the military cannot be deployed in the United States either. They can be deployed on the border, but not inside the country. So we cannot have military troops on the streets of America, and I don't believe we will. I think we'll have National Guard troops supporting law enforcement, and we'll have a lot of patriots probably supporting law enforcement if that scenario unfolds. Now, I'm not saying that that's the most likely scenario, by the way. It's just one of three that I'm discussing here. But I want you to be ready for that scenario because it is a possibility. It's a significant possibility. All right, when we come back, I'm going to discuss the limbo outcome and what happens if we don't know who has won the election. That's straight ahead. Stay with us.
Prepare to discard your mental blinders. Counterthink with Mike Adams is now live on InfoWars.com.
All right, we're going to discuss the limbo outcome here. By limbo, what I mean is that the election takes place, but we don't know the outcome for many days or many weeks because election results are challenged. Now, these challenges could come from either local politicians or candidates who are saying that they do not concede, and this could come from the Democrat side or the Republican side. But challenges to this process could also come from the president himself. President Trump may have justification. I've argued that he does have justification for declaring this election to be null and void based on the massive election theft that has been taking place by the selective censorship of conservative voices carried out by the tech giants. Because this is based on the premise that democracy and fair and free elections must allow for the people to engage in public debate and public conversations. The so-called town square must be a protected free speech zone, so to speak, where people can speak and share ideas and share opinions. But for the last 2 years, actually since January of 2017, when Trump was inaugurated, the tech giants have selectively silenced and censored conservative voices primarily. As a result, we have not had the public dialogue, debate, and conversation that is inherent to the fabric of a constitutional republic. The tech giants, in other words, Facebook, Google, YouTube, Twitter, have committed massive election fraud. It has been a coordinated conspiracy, of course, and they've done it deliberately. They've done it in the most sinister and malicious fashion imaginable, and they've done it in order to steal this election. So the argument can be made, and in fact, I think it is justified, that if control of the House comes down to a very small number of seats, let's say five or fewer, or let's say two or three even, and if those races are close, then it could be argued that Google stole the election, or that Facebook stole the election, because the GOP did not have the opportunity for its supporters to engage in public debate and dialogue. Now, if that challenge were to be put forth by the president, of course, there would be immediate outrage by the left-wing media, but that's expected. Eventually, such a challenge would wind up where? Once again, at the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court would need to rule on this, as the Supreme Court has done in previous elections. Now, the warning I have for America on this, first of all, let me say that I believe the Supreme Court justices would make a lawful decision. I don't think that they have really party loyalty or party bias. They may rule against the GOP. Brett Kavanaugh, for example, in particular, Brett Kavanaugh has no loyalty to Trump whatsoever, and he shouldn't have any loyalty. He has loyalty to the law and loyalty to the Constitution, and that's exactly what we expect from him. But if they rule in favor of the GOP because they agree with whatever arguments are put forward, then in that scenario, where let's say that the media at first reports that the Democrats take the House, and then if the Supreme Court decides in a way that reverses that, maybe over one seat, and then hands a victory to one candidate from the GOP that then gives the GOP control over the House of Representatives, in that scenario, the left will, it will be total insanity nationwide at that point. It will be an armed revolt. It will be massive, just killing in the streets. They will try to mob rush Washington, D.C. and execute Trump and just kill all patriots and murder all senators and everything. I mean, it's going to be a communist attempted revolution, violent takeover at that point, if that happens. That's a very narrow scenario, so the likelihood of that happening is probably less than 5%. I'm just mentioning it because it could happen, and you need to be ready for that. And it might take, by the way, many days or many weeks for these arguments to move through the system and get to the Supreme Court and have a Supreme Court decision. So it doesn't mean that this is all going to happen on November 7th, by the way. It could be December 7th, for all we know, which, by the way, is a day a day of history for other reasons that you might recognize. So the limbo outcome, there are many scenarios here that are very dangerous for America. The flip side of that is what happens if the Supreme Court decides in favor of the Democrat candidate, and then the GOP believes that the election has been stolen from them. When you combine the tech giants' election theft, election meddling, and you combine the mainstream media's bias, and you combine illegal voters, that is, non-citizens, being allowed to vote in elections, I can see, with Trump putting in a new attorney general in place, I can see Trump invoking the... I'll say it again. I can see Trump invoking the attorney general to challenge the outcome of the election based on criminal investigations into criminal fraud, which could involve tech giants, i.e. election meddling, or what Robert Mueller called an attempt to defraud the United States of America. Remember that Robert Mueller actually set a kind of precedent here. Robert Mueller charged a dozen Russian individuals with an attempt to defraud the United States of America via election meddling. And he was referring to them running ads on Facebook. I think they ran $100,000 worth of ads. It was nothing. It didn't even matter. But Robert Mueller set a precedent. What if Trump's new attorney general invokes the Robert Mueller precedent and says, well, the tech giants have committed a massive conspiracy and fraud against the United States of America, and they actually indict the CEOs of Google and Facebook and Twitter, and then with that criminal indictment on the record books, they say, yeah, this election is null and void because we have uncovered evidence of criminal fraud, criminal election meddling, conspiracy against the United States of America. That is likely, I mean, not greater than 50%, but it could happen. It's not an insignificant possibility of that happening. If you get an attorney general who is aggressive enough and who is loyal enough to America, they don't even have to be loyal to the president, just loyal to the Constitution, they could very easily go down this path. And anything that delays the knowledge of the outcome of this election, anything that puts this into limbo, has a very real risk of America erupting into a violent tactical engagement between radical left-wing forces and National Guard troops or patriots. I mean, the longer the limbo takes place, if it does, the more violence escalation we will see across this country. So the best outcome that we could see, frankly, is either the GOP takes the House solidly or the Democrats take the House solidly. We don't want there to be a lot of what ifs, because that's the danger zone. It's better if we know on November 7th. We all wake up on November 7th, or even maybe we know the evening of November 6th. It's better to know for sure, because there's so much hanging on this election, and there's so much at stake, and most people realize that. It's a lot of engagement in this process. There's so much at stake that people are going to flip out if the outcome isn't known very quickly. And I'm sure the Supreme Court would take that into account in having a speedy decision. And by the way, in the last 2 minutes here, I just want to mention what happens if the left takes the House. If they do, we're going to see massive economic sabotage of America. They're going to try to reverse the tax cuts. They're going to try to re-tax the American people. And they will try to nullify everything that Trump has done. They won't have huge success, but they will attempt it. We're going to have political sabotage, because the Democrats will weaponize the House of Representatives to engage in punitive targeting of conservatives and Trump affiliates with subpoenas and accusations of criminal conduct. We're going to have continued invasions of the migrants, because if the Democrats take the House, migrants will be emboldened, and we will have an ever-expanding invasion of the United States of America, U.S. soil, with these migrant caravans that are demanding to be made citizens and demanding to get entitlements and demanding, you know, food stamps and free this and free that. And that will escalate. It's 15,000 now. It'll be 50,000 with the next wave, and then it'll be 100,000. And it's basically overtaking the country. And that's what the Democrats want, because most of those people from Central and South America are socialists, and they vote for socialists, i.e. Democrats. So defending the border is absolutely critical here. Defending the House of Representatives is the best way to shut down the Democrats who want to destroy America. So just to wrap this up, I would say, of course, go out and vote in favor of the GOP. Vote against the Democrats in this election. It's absolutely critical. But be ready for many scenarios of chaos and even civil war to take place, depending on the various outcomes that might happen that I've covered here in great detail. And also, prepare for a new attorney general who goes after deep state criminals. So watch for all this and more. This is Mike Adams. Thanks for tuning in.